It's time for Mount Vernon Wildcat Basketball on 106.7 WMVI and MountVernonRadio.com. This broadcast is brought to you by United Fidelity Bank, the Posey County Co-op, Auto Car Trader, Bud's Hardware, the Mount Vernon M Club, Russell's Excavating, Green Credit Union, Expressway Chevrolet, Team Milam of ERA First Advantage Realty, and Expressway Jeep and Chrysler.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Mount Vernon High School Basketball Coaches Show. I'm Alan Buck, and you're on 106.7 WMVI. I'm sitting here with Coach Doug Novsek in the lobby of United Fidelity Bank in downtown Mount Vernon, the bank that's large enough to offer you full-time services of any type that you need from a bank and small enough to tailor things to your individual needs. Well, Coach, this is the show we didn't want to get off to the start that you didn't get off the start you wanted to last Wednesday, but tell us a little bit about it. First half was a nip and tuck the entire way, and third quarter kind of got third quarter was the difference. Yeah. It was a 20-point quarter, and that was it.
Yeah, you know, Alan, we have some principles and things that we have tried to establish here. Unity, passion, humility, servanthood, and thankfulness. And one of the tenets of thankfulness is to learn from every experience, every circumstance. And I probably learned more than anybody from this game. And, take ownership of it. This game was on me. And I had some concerns coming into this game, personally in a little bit, in that I've never coached these kids in a high school game. Everything we've done has been running clock since June, and even the scrimmage. And even in June, we had a full complement of players. You could play 8, 9 guys. We had 8 seniors at that time. Mm-hmm. So there wasn't an issue with that. The other thing that concerned me was that we haven't been able, and we're going to run into this all year a little bit, trying to simulate what opponents do. And Vincennes last year showed, and they showed it the other night, they're a very disciplined team.
Yeah.
They move the ball. They chewed up clock, and we've never – we haven't ever seen that in the summer. Nobody does that in the summer.
Right.
And really, when we played Wood Memorial, it wasn't like that. And that's the thing I had feared for a few days because we tried to simulate it some, and it just didn't work real good. But the bottom line is that we spent a lot of time on the defensive end. And we spent a lot of, and there were some things I should have done in the second half to change the tempo of that. There's some things we do, and I didn't do it, and I should have done it. And I think fatigue became a big factor for us in the second half. We had guys, and we needed to get some guys out that weren't doing some things right. But for the most part, we've got a short bench, and we've got guys that are 5-6, but they can't play the whole game. And I've got to do a better job of. If it's using timeouts or whatever, we've got to get some kids in and out of there to get some breaks. And then we've had some things we did. I've kicked myself sitting there watching that, and I feared it. And they were a physical team, and there were some other issues we had that we spent a lot of time on. And free throw blockouts are something we do probably as much as anybody in the country. And that was probably the biggest disappointment of the night was how – and I'll give Vincent Lincoln, their coach, tremendous credit. You don't see – teams in general, certainly the college level, obviously the high school thing's new watching, but kids that go after balls like they did at the foul line. Mm-hmm. They were driving our guys underneath. They were physical. You were talking about Brady and the guy, they got in a scrum there late, and we were watching the film. I said, guys, this is what we should have been seeing all night. We should have seen guys' bodies on the floor, and we didn't. We got moved out of the way, and then, we lost a lot of – I think we lost – 4 or 5 possessions, probably 4th possession in the second half alone off of those. And then now you're playing defense again for another minute, whatever. And we never really got an offensive rhythm, I think, because of that. And that was, we took some quick shots early. We competed there. We still, we missed some opportunities, I thought, early. But bottom line is I've got to do a better job managing the team and the roster in these situations like this.
Yeah, you identified the whole thing behind the fatigue. Defense is a lot harder to play than offense. We talked about it in football season when you're, if you've got a good, potent, high-powered offense that can have a sustained, long, sustained drive, the other side of the ball playing defense and going backwards is much more fatiguing. Well, in basketball, it's probably even exacerbated from that because it's such a – the game doesn't stop between plays.
Yeah.
And so it continues to go. And you do have some football players that aren't into basketball shape just yet. I think they developed really well as far as handling the ball. They are way ahead of the curve on that kind of a thing. But fatigue, you just can't accelerate that pace. You just have to play your way into shape, and that's just going to take a little time.
Yeah, and we've, you know, like I said, it's, you know, I learned this years ago. I was coaching the University of Nevada, and even another story, I was telling the team this. I was there in 2011, and we thought we were going to have a really, really good team, one of our best teams ever, and we did. We won 28 games. We thought we dominated our league, and we thought we had a really good chance to postseason. We got upset in the conference tournament, semifinals, had 26 regular season wins, 2 wins over the Pac-12, and we didn't get in the tournament. Went to the NIT, went one game from getting to New York. We got beat by Stanford, who won the tournament. And the reason we didn't get in the tournament, one of the reasons, is our opening night, we played Missouri State, who had won. They won 16 games that year. Not the middle-of-the-road Valley. They beat us 22 on our home floor the first night. And, you know, I told the team, it's how you finish. Yeah. It was a wake-up call. And similarly, you know, kind of got one myself here again that, you know, you consume some things. There's some things about your team you thought you knew, but you know, there's everything's still in front of us here. You know, we got beat, we learned from it, but you know, one of the, I was talking about when I was out there, we trained there at altitude, and we did a lot of travel in the WAC, and the guy who worked for Mark Fox told me, he said, you're not going to believe how little I do day before game and day of the game. And it was all about legs, fresh legs. Mm-hmm. And he had told me that year I went out there, and then we did it again, I think we're almost 2 straight years, never lost a game in February. And a lot of that, he thought we had fresh legs. And that's the thing that I've got to keep in mind is that we're going to have the same roster all year. Mm-hmm. And we've got to get the freshmen to play and be productive. But we've got to manage these kids, you know, their legs, their fatigue. And it's amazing just sometimes what a minute and a half can do.
Oh, absolutely.
And just absolutely.
To get a break. A lot of times I've seen coaches in other schools and things, like a player who's particularly given up a lot of effort and everything, take them out 30 seconds before the end of the quarter.
Yeah.
You know, it sounds like a little thing, but then they get, what's the quarter break, 2 minutes?
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. So, yeah, that makes a huge difference. Same thing, you know, you do that 4 times or 3 times, actually, first, second, third quarter, and it does pick up a little bit. I don't know the cumulative effect of that. It's kind of like in football, you take – a couple plays in this series and put in some second string linemen.
Yep.
Well, anytime you can put a little bit more energy back into a lineman, and same thing with your either your big, well, everybody on a on a basketball court, either the guards or the big people, they can all use a little bit extra relief.
Sure.
And especially like you said, Lincoln would take the ball on offense, and if you shut down their first go around, that's fine. They just set it back up and start over, and then you're playing defense again for however long. And you got an 8-minute shot clock in high school, so it's and they were very disciplined.
They were.
You're right. So that was, you know, not the best thing, but the thing was, first quarter they outscored you 9-6. Second quarter you outscored them 14-12, and well, for 7 minutes and 59 seconds, it was 14-9 in the quarter, and then they hit that buzzer beater right at the end, gave them 1-point lead at halftime. Now, does momentum like that carry over to the start of the second half, or is that gone by the end of halftime?
You know what, it can. I think that's the one thing you always you want to have momentum going into the half. Mm-hmm. You know, there's different schools of thought on that. I always thought it was important, and I thought that – I don't know that was the factor. I think our guys were – you know, we'd fought back, and it had been a fight. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, the guy – it was a difficult shot. I'll give the guy credit. I mean, it's something that you know, we tried something there. We went the zone. We didn't want that. They were holding the ball, and we thought, okay, let's do this. And, I mean, I didn't get the sense that our guys were deflated by that at all, and I certainly wasn't. I mean, I've been around enough games. I think – where you really get in a situation where the momentum can really is if you give up a lead, like a sizable lead, like if you've got the ball and you're holding it and you turn it over and they come down a score or something like that, where you feel like you've lost something. I didn't feel like we lost that much. I mean, it was a 1-point lead, and it had been kind of a tight game throughout the first half anyway. But, you know, one thing we've done really since June, I was looking at our summer stats. you know, and certainly the Wood Memorial game, we've shot the ball pretty well, really, since, you know, these kids have been together this year. I mean, we were, I think as a team this summer, nine games, we were around 37%, and we had two kids who were combined two for, like, 18. So, you know, you get, and one of them's not with us anymore. So you know, we were, and we shot, I think, 47% against Wood Memorial from the three. And, you know, we had some looks. We took some quicker shots, and we weren't ready, but... You know, that factored in as well. I mean, you just, you know, you got to score some points when it's your time.
Yeah, I was going to ask that, and I didn't know if I should ask it on the air or off the air, but it looked to me like in the first quarter in particular, you had good shots, and they just weren't hitting. I don't know what it said statistically. Well, I didn't add up the statistics, but yeah, we were not shooting the ball very well, and it was not a result. It wasn't for bad shots. It was good quality shots, and sometimes that happens.
Yeah, we had a couple in there that were, you know, a little bit questionable. And then we had some balls at the rim we didn't finish. And we, you know, we do a lot of that every day. I think that's a kind of a lost art in basketball a lot of times. You know, I mean, there's guys that go up and, you know, who can dunk and things like that. But guys that, you know, at this level, you're, you know, everyone's pretty much a rim level guy. And that finishing aspect of it's big. And that's something that we continue to work on. And we got to get, you know, we got to get better. I think we had probably three or four there at the rim that we, you know, I know Brady had one. It was an offensive rebound. I thought he got fouled, and he didn't. I mean, he didn't call it, but so, you know, that was, and we had, I mean, we had a really good run out with Bryce in the transition. He just got to slow down. He got sped up, and you know, we spent a lot of time what we call getting to the second side, having some poise around the ball, around the basket to finish. So, but, you know, we got beat. I mean, it's just how I, you know, it's you wake up and you go forward and you learn from them.
Yeah, Chris and I were talking about the scrimmage game against Wood Memorial. I wish you had like two or three of those, but IHSAA rules, you can just get one. Yeah. And so last Wednesday was your first opportunity at a real by-the-rules game, and you learn some stuff,
yeah.
And that's the thing to do. Well, we're going to take our first break right now. You're listening to 106.7 WMVI.
You've got places to go, and Better Banking can help you and your money go further. Are you ready to take your money to new heights? Get a flexible high-yield checking account that lets you customize your interest rate so you can keep your finances headed in the right direction. With Elevate Checking from United Fidelity Bank, you're in control of how much you earn. You can raise your rate with a few easy steps, like using your mobile banking app or getting your paychecks by direct deposit. Get more ways to earn more with Elevate Checking and start earning 4.00% APY. Learn more at unitedfidelity.com/elevate or visit your local banking center. Must meet certain criteria to qualify. Rates may change at any time without notice after the account is opened. APY is accurate as of August 1st, 2024. $25 minimum deposit required to open. Fees or other conditions could reduce earnings on the account. Member FDIC.
The Posey County Co-op has proudly been supporting the communities we live in since 1927. With locations in Mount Vernon, Poseyville, Griffin, St. Wendell, Hopstott, and Evansville, the Posey County Co-op is your number one spot for Askro and DeKalb seeds and Purina feed products. The Posey County Co-op also has you covered with their new Posey County Workwear in Mount Vernon. The Posey County Co-op, your number one agricultural resource since 1927.
Buying a used vehicle doesn't have to be difficult, and when you come to Auto Car Trader in Mount Vernon, it's not. This week's Vehicle of the Week is a 2022 Kia Sorento SX all-wheel drive. This sharp gray SUV has just 66,000 miles on it. It has a 2.5-liter turbocharged four-cylinder, 8-speed transmission. It's full-time all-wheel drive. Has gloss black wheels, leather seats, third-row seats, and forward collision assistance. This is a one-owner vehicle with a full-service history. Check it out online at actpreowned.com or swing by 312 College Avenue to take it on a test drive today. Financing is available for all credit situations at Auto Car Trader in Mount Vernon.
Serving Mount Vernon since 1874, Bud's Hardware has been taking care of all your hardware needs. Bud's Hardware is your number one choice for lumber, plumbing, paint, fasteners, tools, keys, and even propane. Stop by 413 Main Street in Mount Vernon today and see all that Bud's Hardware has to offer, or give them a call, 812-838-4474. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays, 8 to 5. Bud's Hardware, serving Mount Vernon since 1874.
For over 40 years, the Mount Vernon Club has provided support necessary for the success of Mount Vernon student athletes. Since 1971, over $250,000 has been donated to athletic programs, assisting in weight room equipment, uniforms, and granting college scholarships. The M Club sells individual bricks for Wildcat Plaza, which are great purchases for alums and class reunions. Bricks are just $35. To make a purchase, contact M Club President Scott Mitchell at 812-550-0153.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Mount Vernon High School Basketball Coaches Show. I'm Alan Buck. You're listening to 106.7 WMVI. I'm here with Coach Doug Nofsek in the lobby of the downtown United Fidelity Bank in Mount Vernon, Indiana, the bank that is a full-service bank but small enough to give you that small-town feel. And we've kind of gone over the good things and bad things about the Vincennes. Actually, we've gone over mostly the bad things. Tell us some good things that came out of the Vincennes game last week, and it was a 20-point loss. We'll be honest about that. But you're learning things about your team every day because it's still such a new thing, and that was the first by-the-rules full-scale basketball game.
Well, there wasn't a lot. We didn't turn the ball over a lot. I will say that. I think we maybe had 8 or 9 turnovers. I had the stats here, and so, I mean, that was good. And, you know, I think other than we started the game with a couple of questionable shots, maybe that we could have gotten better. I thought our shot selection was – and I really thought we, you know, as a team, you know, we competed defensively in the first half. Now, their numbers ended up very well, and I think some of that was in the second half. I think they shot, you know, in the 50s above, you know, the field and the three-point, which is certainly not – you know, you're not going to win many games when that happens. But, you know, I thought early on that we – you know, we our hands were up. We did some move. We were making it difficult for them to score, and they were just very disciplined. I thought we, you know, obviously we took a lot of gas out of us, but there wasn't. I mean, when you lose at home by 20, Alan, there's really not much to.
Yeah, I showed them at 6 for 10 from 3-point range. Yeah. You know, that's pretty close to 50%. Yeah. But that's one of those things that really. I didn't see that they had a lot of wide open threes. There were some when they took them. I thought good, and then they went in. So, you know, that's one of those things. We didn't have a high number of rebounds by one person, but we had 8 different people get rebounds, and that's a pretty good thing. So, I don't know if you can get more people contributing that way.
Well, that's everybody's job, Alan. That's the one thing with rebounding. Now, we won't send everybody to the offensive glass, but everyone, the defensive glass, it's 5 guys. I mean, everybody, and that's one thing that I, staff, we got to do a better job. We had guys that were not going when they needed to go. And that's where you can, you know, you can pick up an extra possession, you get a foul, the whole deal. And we had some guys that were not when it was their time.
You gave a real good point last time we talked about some guys rebound really well by getting position, blocking out, and then releasing and going to the ball, and other people slash to the ball. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, from my standpoint, I would say those are mostly guards because they aren't underneath the basket. Mm-hmm. They don't have a body. They just turn and put right in and they can slash the basket. But from watching the college game, there's no such thing as following your shot anymore. And that leaves a lot of rebounds, you know, on the table, and a lot of times there's a lot of watching. So either one of two things: either put your rear end in somebody and block them out, or go for the ball. But don't stand there and watch. Yeah. And that's why I see a lot of. I'm not saying about your team specifically, but that's what I've seen an awful lot of in college, and kids emulate what they see. Mm-hmm. And I wonder.
Well, I think it's, you know, some of the best offensive rebounders I've been around are perimeter players. Generally, it's maybe your power forward who's up around the 15 foot area. That is a very difficult position to block out when a guy goes. Mm-hmm. If he's got some agility and just tracks the ball, I mean, it's hard to do. I mean, you reach and the guy's got a little momentum on you. But, you know, the guys that are good, they go. It doesn't matter. They just go. And they've got, as you continue practice and things like that, and, you know, for some guys it's a matter they can really track the ball if it's coming off. And you're on one side. If you shoot on the left, 75% of the time it's going to go to the right. So you're trying to get that covered. And You know, from an offensive standpoint, that's the best kind of position to be in. Now, if you got a big old, you know, center in there who can, you know, root guys out and get some ball, Moses Malone type stuff, you know, which we don't really have. But, you know, we've got two guys in Brady Shukla and Keaton Gibbons who've got the ability to do what Vincennes did to us, and that is they got us underneath the basket. They pushed us under, and they were very physical in that regard. And sometimes that's how you get a ball. It's just you can block out when you're on offense. You know, the offensive guy, you can get this guy under, and that's where we just got to be a little bit more tenacious.
And it goes down. It goes to directly to possessions. And when I played, coach said basically if you're competitive in a game. And it's not a racehorse game or something like that. Mm-hmm. You're going to score about a point per possession. Mm-hmm. If you get blown out, maybe you're scoring three quarters of a point. If you blow somebody out, maybe you're a point and a quarter. Mm-hmm. So if you think of a point per possession, there's a rebound. If your team gets it, that's a point. The other team doesn't get it. That's a point they don't get. So a rebound is almost it's a 2-point swing. And that's the thing. You just have to stick with that, and kids have to understand how important that is.
I mean, especially, you know, at this level where you go get an offensive rebound, now you've got a chance to, you know, if that's your style, you know, you work 34 seconds, whatever, off the clock. And that's kind of what we got. They did not shoot free throws very well. We got them to the line. And I think, as I said, I think at least five times in the second half, they got another possession or a foul off of free throw blockouts. And it's demoralizing to you a little bit too that you've worked hard and maybe you know you don't really want to go in there and foul everybody, but I think they were 5 of 16 from the line or something. It was not a very good statistical night for them there, 6 of 19 or something like that. But I got
7 for 16.
Yeah,
or something.
But they got, you know, they get 4 or 5 of those back, and it can deflate you. And you know, there's really no, you know, the thing we keep telling you've got 4 versus 2. At the foul line. I mean, at least right on the mat, the shooter can go run after it. Most guys don't, and he's the easiest guy a lot of times to block out. So you know you're dealing with a, you know, an advantage. And as I said, I give them credit. They were very aggressive in that.
They're pretty fundamental. That's just the history of Vincennes Lincoln basketball. They're always fundamental. It goes back to the Gunnar Wyman days, and then it's sometimes a legend like that leaves, and there's a big drop off. Wasn't that way for Vincennes Lincoln, and they're still that way and fundamentally sound. And that's one of those things though that your guys are going to tend to be as well. They just, you know, first game didn't come out of the blocks as hard as they might have. And we got another test coming up Friday night. We'll take a quick break and we'll talk about North Posey coming up. You're listening to 106.7 WMVI.
For over 40 years, Brussels Excavating has proudly served the community. Specializing in commercial and industrial services, Brussels offers site preparation for new construction projects, demolition and industrial maintenance services, and all services are rendered with an emphasis on safety first and customer satisfaction. A proud supporter of Wildcats football is family-owned Brussels Excavating at 6800 Leonard Road South in Mount Vernon. Call 812-838-2471 for Brussels Excavating.
The clock is ticking. It's your final days to save during the Red Tag Sales event at Expressway Chevrolet. Save over $14,000 off MSRP on a new Chevy Silverado Crew Cab 4x4, new Chevy Trailblazer LT 23990. See red, save green at the Red Tag Sales event. ExpressWayChevrolet.com, Mount Vernon, Indiana. Together, let's drive. Prices leads tax title and $250 doc fee. Dealer retains all applicable rebates. Owner loyalty and Costco may apply. Trade assist on 2011 or newer. Residential restrictions may apply. Excludes previous offers. See dealer for details.
This is Justin Schmidt, Regional Manager for Crane Credit Union in Posey County. I want to remind you that Crane Credit Union is committed to serving Posey County. With 3 locations, familiar faces, and local decisions, we are able to offer cutting-edge products and services that you want, along with hometown feel that you deserve. When you become a member at Crane Credit Union, you're helping to support this community and the schools and organizations that matter to you. Visit us in person at one of our local branches in Poseyville, Mount Vernon, or St. Wendell, or online at cranecu.org to find out how easy it is to join. Crane Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA, an equal housing lender.
Looking for space and charm? Then T. Milam of ERA First Advantage Realty has another great home for you. Check out 342 Emick Street in Mount Vernon, a beautifully updated brick home with 3 bedrooms, 2 baths, and over 2,000 square feet of living space. Enjoy a vaulted kitchen with a fireplace, spacious living area, a full basement with a rec room, and it's sitting on a quarter lot with a fenced yard and covered porch. This house is move-in ready. Contact Rick at 812-453-1068 for a showing today. Team Milam of ERA First Advantage Realty, going that extra mile.
Looking for a new ride, or is it time to give your current car the care it deserves? At Expressway Jeep, we've got you covered. Whether you're shopping for the latest Jeep, Chrysler, Dodge, or Ram models, or need reliable service, we're your one-stop shop. Check out our amazing deals on quality new and pre-owned vehicles. And when it's time for maintenance, our certified technicians are ready to keep your vehicle running like new. Visit us today or check us out online at expressway jeep.com. Expressway Jeep, Chrysler, Dodge, Ram in Mount Vernon, Indiana.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Mount Vernon High School Basketball Coaches Show. I'm Alan Buck. You're listening to 106.7 WMVI, and I'm here with Doug Knopsek in the lobby of the United Fidelity Bank in downtown Mount Vernon, the bank that's a full-service bank, can handle all of your needs and small enough to be personal with you and tailor needs to what you have in mind. Coach, we got a big rivalry game Friday night. We're at North Posey. They had a similar outing that Mount Vernon had on their in their first game. They played, I believe, Evansville Central and lost by 20. And they've got a new coach as well. So you've seen a little bit of film, I'm sure.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that game coming up?
Well, I'll tell you, we're going to have to scrap. They're a scrappy team. Watching the game against Central was really it was an ugly game, really on both sides. But those kids, they fight. They go after balls. I think they've got a blend of the kind of youth, and you know, they've got a really talented inside player who's a good athlete, very bouncy off the ground, and can score around the hoop. And he's very, I mean, they get in the ball. You know, it's just, I told our guys tonight, this is going to be a, you know, I won't say a brawl. It's not going to be a brawl, but it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a tight game. Obviously, a rivalry here that's been around for a while. But I, you know, it's, you know, they play. We're going to get a chance to look at them tomorrow. They're at Boonville tomorrow and get another look. But we're anticipating, you know, a tight game.
Seeing them play Boonville tomorrow will be a really good thing, because Boonville's teams are a lot of times they're similar to Mount Vernon's teams in that they're good athletes, maybe not the absolute top of the shelf athletes, but they're intelligent and they're good, hardworking kids. So very similar. And that might be a really good benchmark for you guys to see. This is a big rivalry, yes, between the schools, but even more so between the individuals, because the players, they might be right down the street from an opponent, things like that. And the football season this year was the first time that this group of seniors has beaten North Posey in football.
And in
basketball. A couple years ago, we used to play them twice.
Yeah.
And Mount Vernon got one. I think we traded away victories that year. I can't remember exactly yet. You get to be my age and you kind of lose memory. but yeah, you will see a lot of intense effort on both sides of the ball. Mm-hmm. I don't think it will get, like you said, it's not going to be a brawl, because both teams play clean, but they won't shy away from physical contact either.
Well, it's great. Rivalries are – I mean, I've been fortunate in particularly the college level. I mean, I coached at Illinois State, and it was a big rivalry with Bradley. It was called the War on 74. It was an interstate there. And then when I went to Nevada, we had the battle with Las Vegas. UNLV was a big rival with us. They started playing – they had dominated it forever when they had the great Jerry Tarkanian teams. And then Nevada starting to get to where we were competing with and beating them. And then I was at the University of Nebraska, and we played Creighton every year. And they had the upper hand there. For us, we beat them late in the NIT one year. But, you know, there's something different about them. I mean, obviously people get really excited about it. And it's great. It's great for the kids. It's great for the community to have that kind of pride and have this kind of game. I know it's particularly this early. You don't really see it sometimes this early.
That's what I was about to ask you. How do you feel about it, the fact that it is this early, rather than both teams having plenty of games under their belt and having it later in the season? Is there?
Well, I think it's obviously it's still meaningful and it means something. But, you know, the thing, when it's this early, you don't want to put probably as much
importance on it.
Yeah, emphasis on it, okay. But, you know, you want to win, obviously. But, when it's, you know, this early in the season, which I don't know if they've typically done that, but it's You know, it makes it a little bit different, I guess, how you prepare.
Yeah, it's kind of floated around a little bit, but I don't ever recall it being second game in the season. But things have been readjusting. Like you said, it is what it is. So we'll get after it and go hard. We're both kind of assuming game times will be 6 for JV and 7:30 for varsity, but check your local listings kind of thing and be sure that, you know, we get as many people up there as possible Friday night to, you know, bring your noisy neighbors and go make it loud for Mount sure. Vernon up there. That's one thing I would say. These kids work awfully hard. They deserve the support. Wow. And, you know, you're going to be in hostile territory. Yeah. So bring the Mount Vernon faithful. It's not that far to travel.
And you said it earlier, and I'll say it here. We're a better team than we showed on Wednesday. I don't think there's any question about that. I think the kids know that. I go back to what I said beginning. I did not do a good job of getting these kids ready to play that kind of game. And it showed, and it's, you know, we worked out, you know, we've had practices now that we've gotten there Thursday. We didn't practice Thursday, we practiced Friday, Saturday, had good workouts. We had a shortened workout a little bit today because I had this, and we had pictures and stuff, but we got some things done, and, you know, we've got some time to get ready for them, and we cleaned some things up here, and we've spent a lot of time, watched a lot of film with these guys to show what kind of things we're talking about, and we've as a staff, I mean, it's something, Alan, we've got a unique situation here with quarters, with freshmen, you know, guys that need development, but need to be guys to give us minutes, how we use them. What kind of things we run when they're in there. We're just really, you know, we're really shy in the backcourt right now.
Yeah.
And that's going to be, you know, that's not going to change all year. And but we spent some time before this game talking about it, and we'll continue to adjust as we go. But there's some things we could have done that I didn't do. I'm kicking myself.
What's the injury report? Everybody's good?
Everybody's good.
Everybody good?
Yeah, we're
okay.
All good.
One of the things I've always said, and it's, I don't know if you've not been involved with kids, you know, in their developmental years, their adolescent years. One day it can be the most graceful, gifted, skilled athlete, and the next day they can't walk and chew gum at the same time. And it's not, it's just the development of the kids and their pile of raging hormones and everything, and some days everything works and some days it doesn't.
Yeah.
And from the shoulders up, you know, you've got dad's mad at the kid because he you know, was out too late or something, and mom's mad because he didn't clean his room, and Susie from chemistry class looked pretty good that day, so you got to get his mind focused on basketball.
Yeah.
That's a tough challenge.
Well, that's what's a little bit different at this level, too. I think we talked about this before. You at the college level, you've got access to these kids really all day.
Right.
I mean, you can pull them aside here. They got an hour here or whatever. Now it's like you get – you know, you're getting these guys at the, when you said everything's happened, you know, tests, practice, everything, and that's a little bit of a adjustment, and that's why you try to make your practices, you got to make them organized, you got to get things done, and understand that from a mental standpoint, these kids probably don't have 3 hours of work in them,
right,
for Monday.
And this is your first normal week as far as preparation goes. We talked about that last Wednesday, the 4 and 5:30 was oddball, but just good. What kind of a routine are you in? Is there going to be a team meal on Thursday night?
Yeah, we do have a meal set up for Thursday night. Nikki Hostetter's in charge of that. I know they've done this in the past here, and we're all looking forward to that. We appreciate her and all the moms that are involved in all this and all the people in the community who do that, you know, for the kids and, I mean, for the coaches that you see here, Alan. I'm not passing out free food very often.
Yeah, well, that's all right.
But, yeah, we've got a, you know, we got some, you know, it was really, we've actually got more than what we usually, we were supposed to play tomorrow night as well, and it didn't, you know, with Gibson Southern, didn't happen. But,
well, they still don't have enough practices in some
no,
of their players.
So. Probably, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's understandable, and you know, pat them on the back. That was a heck of a football run they had.
And
but anyway, well, this we're about out of time. I really appreciate your time. I know you work awful hard during the day, and you come from practice and got to get home. But I appreciate everything, and we will see you Friday night. And tell folks, check your local listings. But we think it's 6 and 7:30. And with that, I will turn it back to Dave, back to the studio, and say good night to all good sports.
You've been listening to Mount Vernon Wildcat Basketball on 106.7 WMVI and MountVernonRadio.com. This broadcast has been brought to you by
United Fidelity Bank, the Posey County Co-op, Auto Car Trader, Bud's Hardware, the Mount Vernon M Club, Russell's Excavating, Crane Credit Union, Expressway Chevrolet, Team Milam of ERA First Advantage Realty, and Expressway Jeep and Chrysler. Keep up to date with the Mount Vernon Wildcats on 106.7 WMVI and PoseyCountyRadio.com.